Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Linda, and this is Soul in the City, and we are so glad to have you with us this evening. I have a very, very special guest, and we are going to be talking about your calling, your destiny, and what is the Lord calling you to do, and what is it you're here to do. So we want you to sit back and relax and just listen and enjoy. If you do want to call in, the line is open, and it's 760-695-1120. I'm going to start off by taking a deep breath and saying a little prayer. Father God, we open our hearts and our minds so that you would use us, so that we would reach the purpose and the destiny that you have for our lives and whatever it is you've called us to do, that we would have our focus on you, that you would guide and deliver us and take us to the purposes that you have for us on this planet, that we are ultimately here to serve as Christ was here to serve. And that's the ultimate goal. And as nothing else matters, you are all that matters. So we lift up our hands and our hearts, and we ask that you speak through us through this program, that we touch somebody's heart, that we enlighten them with understanding through your word. Lord, speak to us. And that if somebody is worried or anxious or doesn't feel loved or accepted, that a word is spoken here through you, through us, that they would know that they are loved. So we're going to say amen and thank you, Father God, if so it is. And we're going to finish by listening to Israel. And you know what? Nothing else matters.
Oh,
nothing else matters. And when you think about it, nothing else really matters at all but to sit at the feet of the Lord and know that basically we're all here to serve. Even with our destiny, it's all about serving. I am so excited about the guest that I have here today, Reverend Michael. And I just want you to tell us about yourself a little bit. Now, I affectionately call you that, but I'm going to let you introduce and talk to me.
All right. Like I said, I am Reverend Mike Myrick. I'm assistant pastor of Church of the Living Water in Goodlettsville, Tennessee. I'm retired from my secular job and just do the assistant pastoring in my time now. So that's pretty much where I'm at.
Okay. And introduce your partner.
And my partner's with me, Steve. He's one of the deacons in our church and one of the board members and kind of jack of all trades for the church.
Well, hi, Steve. I'm not going to have you sitting at, we're sitting at my kitchen table. You know how we do it. And so, hi, Steve. You say hi, too.
I'm Steve.
So, we are excited. We're going to be talking about your calling, your destiny. We're going to be talking about life. We're just going to be having a conversation at the table like we're doing.
Great.
Yeah. So, Tim.
You know, I was saved when I was probably, I don't know, 11, 12. I was raised in the Methodist Church. And back then, it was just the Methodist Church. It wasn't the United Methodist Church. It was just the Methodist Church. And as a child, I was probably 10, 11 years old. My parents left that church, and so I started attending a Southern Baptist church. And that was the first I'd ever heard of salvation.
Mm.
And that first summer, I attended a Baptist church camp, and that's where I was saved. So I was 11 or 12, someplace in there. And I knew from the time that I was at least 16, I knew that God had called me into the ministry.
Mm.
But through my not really being willing to do that, I knew that I was supposed to go to a seminary and study to become a minister. But after high school, I chose to go into the military and to do that during the Vietnam War and did not go on to college until after I'd gotten out of the service. By then, I was married and had a family and could not afford to go to full-time school.
No,
you know how that is.
Yes.
And, you know, life just got in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Although I still knew in my heart that I had that calling. I was finally baptized, finally ordained at the age of 56.
Wow.
So 8 years ago. So I call myself a modern day Moses. I wandered in my desert for 40 years until I finally accepted the call and went through the seminary that our church offers.
Mm-hmm.
And became ordained.
Awesome.
So,
awesome.
You know, life gets in the way so many times.
It does.
We let life get in the way so many times.
We let life get in the way a lot of the time. And I think that sometimes that you still come back to what you know you're drawn to do is the most important thing. Sometimes I think to be effective in whatever your ministry, be it a minister or you're a business person or whatever, is to allow God to use you in that and then to always come back. It's like that is something that always pulls you back. No matter where life takes you, it pulls you back.
It seems to.
Yeah.
Especially where God is concerned. You know, I believe I believe that He had me in the palm of His hand those 40 years. He never let me get so far astray that I couldn't find my way back into the palm.
Right.
You know, He gave me that will to venture out. And I think because I ventured out and because I did do so much during that 40 years, that in some respects it makes me more of a compassionate type minister. Because I've been there through a lot of stuff. I've been there through a lot of the things that other people go through, that now I can have the empathy to deal with a lot of people.
And I think that's so important, because that, you know, I have this thing that I tell my children. I want to be that everyday vessel, the plate that God uses, that, you know, not the good china that you only
right.
use every now and then. I want to be that everyday cup, beat up, it's your favorite
right.
coffee cup. That's the one I want to be.
Right.
And I think 40 years of finding, you became that.
Right. And I think, you know, it took me that 40 years. So I don't think I would be as effective had I gotten right out of high school, gone into the seminary, been ordained, and served for 40 years. I don't believe I would have been as effective as I might be today.
Oh,
because
I've
had this life experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And many people are searching for their destiny, their calling. Do you have any suggestions for their journey?
Just listen. Listen to God. Keep your heart and your mind open, your ears open. You know, we have a saying in our church that God is not necessarily going to talk to you in that Charlton Heston voice. Hello. You know, this is God speaking. He's going to talk to you in a soft, quiet voice that only you can hear, and only you will know that it's God.
Yes.
And I don't know, I think of one time that I really vividly remember hearing God's voice.
Mm.
And that was my grandson had been diagnosed with leukemia at age 4.
Wow.
And this was 14 years ago. And that was the time that I learned to trust my faith, because I realized I was not back in the church very much at that point. I had just gotten into Church of the Living Water. And I realized at that point there was absolutely nothing I could do. You know, I'm not a doctor. I don't know the medications. I don't know the chemotherapy, the radiation, and all that he had to go through. All I could do was pray.
Which is powerful in its own way.
And a few months after his diagnosis, I went to a revival, and I went forward for prayer and was slain in the spirit. And I remember distinctly laying on the floor and hearing God laugh and say, "My son, I told you he's going to be fine."
Wow.
He turned 18.
Awesome.
In April, and graduated high school this year.
Is that a testimony?
I don't get emotional about it.
Well, you should, because we are here. If you hear me, I'm just kind of like a one to pull out an amen on that, because that's awesome, because that just speaks to the power of God and the power of prayer. Because sometimes I think we say, all I could do was pray. But that sometimes is the most effective medicine. You know what I'm saying? Because there's the point, even as a nurse, that you reach that you can only go so far. And prayer takes us straight to the throne room, to the healer of all healers.
But we also have to accept God's will.
Yes, we do.
When I asked for healing for my grandson, I meant a physical healing, which is what God granted. But his healing could have been to carry him home.
And we don't want to say that sometimes.
No, we don't.
And, you know, I do the hospice thing, and I have realized, too, that sometimes, and that might be hard for some people to receive, the ultimate healing.
Absolutely.
If you believe in that this life, I say this is a comma, and we have another life beyond this existence, and that healing in that existence is that we're perfectly whole and complete.
Right.
No pain, nor and I do believe, you know, that's hard for some people too, that even heaven or the state of heaven can begin here if you can receive that in your spirit. So,
absolutely.
So, yeah, sometimes healing is not always on this side, it's on the other side.
Right. But I think, getting back to the original question, I think if people will just slow down, listen for God's word, Listen, mm-hmm. you know, listen to what he has to say to them, mm-hmm. Whether it be through reading their Bible daily or whether it be through watching a televangelist, listening to a program such as this, attending church, whatever their situation is, whatever their motive of getting information is, just listen to what he has to say to you. And again, it'll just be a quiet voice saying, this is what I've been trying to tell you.
Yeah, and that desire, that yearning, you know, be still, and I say that, and
yes.
know that I am God. And the
yes.
be is the first part of that. Just sometimes you just have to be.
Absolutely.
You know, and then the second part, be still, because you can hear him when you are still.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only time you can hear him.
That's really the only time.
If you're hustling, bustling around, you're not taking time to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, during your hustle bustle day, take a few minutes and relax and get into the spirit, get into the to knowing that God is going to talk to you.
Yeah,
just have to take the time to listen.
You do, and I'm kind of getting off because we're going, but I know you can handle it. You know, for some people, it might even be I don't hear God. What would you say to somebody that says, I don't hear God? You know, because you know you do, because it's that small voice inside of you that kind of guides you. What do you feel about that?
When you say a kind word to someone,
mm-hmm.
you're hearing God's voice.
Ooh, that's good.
When you're being good to someone or you're praying for someone, you're hearing God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be what you're expecting to hear. It may not be something that is actually verbal,
mm-hmm.
but you're acting on God's voice at that time.
Right.
So, you know, we've had people in the church that have said, you know, I pray and I pray and I pray, and my prayers are just going to the ceiling. Just going to the roof.
That would be you, huh? It's going beyond the roof.
It is.
You see it sometimes, though. You have to say, don't you see it sometimes?
Yeah. Eventually, you know, in our world today, we want it now. Well, God doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a century is a blink of the eye to God. You know, and what He has planned for us, which none of us know, may not take but a second to get an answer. But it may take years before we get that answer.
Mm. And His timing is not our timing.
No, it is not.
That is the thing. Okay. Well, once you've accepted your calling or destiny, do you feel that there takes some balance in your ministry or your calling and your personal life?
Well, you know, I think the more mature that I've become as a Christian,
mm-hmm.
and the more secure that I've become as a child of God, the two, my personal life and my prayer life or my ministerial life, have become cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
They become one. I don't feel that I am really any different when I'm outside of the church than I am when I'm in the church. I don't feel that I'm any different if I'm not delivering a message, preaching a sermon, I don't feel that I'm any different sitting in the congregation than I am delivering the message. You have to receive.
You have to receive. You do.
So I just think that the more mature that I've become, the more mellow I've become,
mm-hmm.
and the more cohesive my personal life and my ministerial life have become. They're just one.
And yeah. I guess I'm not there yet because I feel compartmentalized. You know, this is my ministry and this is my personal life. And sometimes I'm having a problem with finding the balance. I'm either so consumed in the ministry or, you know, just finding that balance. And you do have to have some type of balance where your ministry isn't consuming, that you don't spend time with your loved ones and that kind of thing. So that is where I am struggling to find.
And I think it will come.
Mm-hmm.
You're not near as old as I am, and it's taken me all these years to get to that point. You know, even though I've only been ordained for 8 years, I was a Christian for many years prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had multitudes of years to get to the point that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not expect somebody that has maybe been a Christian for a year to be able to separate,
mm-hmm.
or to keep the two from being separate.
Right.
You know, it just takes a lot of time.
It does.
You know.
And maturity, and just having that relationship with God that you
yeah.
know when I've done too much, and now I need to spend time with my family,
right.
my loved ones,
right.
or I'm letting this, you just know.
Uh-huh.
And that's good, do you find it beneficial to have mentors along your path?
Oh, absolutely. You're always learning.
Mm-hmm.
Day by day. You know, everybody that you come in contact with can be your mentor.
That's true.
In some form or fashion, whether they be another professional or even just somebody you might meet on the street, they can mentor you in some respect, in some area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just feel like because we are always learning, there's always going to be somebody that can teach us a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, when you're open to receive.
Absolutely, you know, and whether that be as a minister, I don't know, or just as a lay person,
mm-hmm.
I don't feel that, if anybody comes to me, I don't feel like I would be a good mentor to them because I don't have the history.
Mm.
You know, and I know that that's not the case. I know that I've helped mentor people. And a lot of that is just by ministry.
It is. Just by partnering along. And just, sometimes you don't even have to really totally know, but because you've had life experiences, you feel and compassion and empathy.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, even, through your radio show here, you know, who knows out in internet land?
Right.
Who is hearing what we're talking about and saying,
mm-hmm.
never thought of it that way. Or, well, that is just wrong.
Yeah.
You know? But even if they believe that you're wrong, you're still mentoring them.
Definitely. And with the guests, because, you know, I say on the program, like, I am not here necessarily for you to agree with everything that's being said. Sometimes
right.
I don't even agree with some of the guests that I have. But what I'm here for is to expand your mind
right.
and to hear another person's side. Because sometimes we take sides
mm-hmm.
and we haven't heard the other person's view. So what the program is about dialogue.
Right, good.
You know, let me hear your view. I've had a Wiccan on here before.
Uh-huh.
And I know, and I got some nasty letters about it, but it was, how can we not know what they think?
Right. You know, it'd be a boring world if everybody was exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why we all have to learn, you know, I've seen these bumper stickers coexist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what that means. It's something, I think, metaphysical,
mm-hmm.
but to me, it just means we all have to get along.
We don't all have to agree.
Exactly.
But we all have to get along, and I feel like sometimes we put people in a box and we throw darts, but we don't know who they are.
Exactly.
So until you know who somebody is, if you dialogue with them, and even if you disagree, you will at least dialogue with them.
Right.
Well, when you run into naysayers, or haters, as I call them, how do you handle them when it's regards to your destiny? You know, that can be in your own family sometimes.
Yeah, it can be. You know, I rarely will argue with somebody about an issue. Nine times out of ten, their mind is made up. I'm not going to change their mind. And they're certainly not going to change mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
You just get to a point where you agree to disagree.
And
then go on with life.
There
you know?
Go.
We live in this world. And not everybody is going to agree with what you had to say or what I had to say or what anyone has to say. And not everybody's going to disagree with what you have to say either.
That's true.
You're always going to have somebody backing you up. But I think keeping my eyes on Jesus helps me remember to agree to disagree.
Mm.
It helps me remember that I'm not going to convince everybody that my way is the right way.
Right.
You know. So just basically keeping my focus on Christ.
Right.
Is the way.
And then it becomes like the need to be right.
Yeah.
The need to be right, but instead of to love and the need to be right becomes the ultimate goal, and that's not always.
That's not the case.
Not always the case.
No.
It really isn't.
No, I think in so many of our interpersonal relationships,
mm-hmm.
that's the case. You know, Steve and I have been together for almost 15 years,
mm-hmm.
and we have yet to have a big argument. He says we do all the time. I'm just talking.
He's not there. It's the best way to argue, though.
But I think, you know, In our interpersonal relationships, it doesn't do a bit of good to argue.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do a bit of good to debate. We all have our beliefs. We all have our faith foundations. We're going to believe what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
So who am I to say that your beliefs are wrong any more than my beliefs are wrong?
Right.
You know, you just... You just live.
You just live. And let others do the same.
Exactly.
And
I don't like being told I'm wrong.
No.
So why should I tell you you're wrong? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a part of awesome ministry. Tell us about the ministry and tell us your part of the ministry.
Okay, our church, Church of the Living Water.
Hey, Tony. Reverend Tony, Pastor Tony.
I assume he's listening tonight.
Well, he'll be listening soon, I'm probably.
Okay. we'll be celebrating our 16th anniversary in December, and he'll be celebrating his 16th anniversary as pastor of the
church.
Wow. We started out, now Steve and I didn't start till the church was about a year and a half old.
Okay.
When we started attending. And in that, the 15 years, 14 and a half years that we've been attending, we've seen that church go through so many ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
We're affirming and accepting. We're open.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone and everyone is welcome to attend. We love to have people come in and visit, especially when they decide to stay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we believe that we do own our own building, which is really unusual for a church of our size.
It is.
But we, as in the bank, do own the building. And we don't feel that the church, that building is the church. We are the church.
That is good.
We are the ones that bring Christ into that church with us
mm-hmm.
every Sunday. We invite him in. But we're the ones that are actually bringing him in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got. I love our church. You know, obviously.
It's awesome.
You know, obviously, if I've been there for that many years, I love the church,
right?
And the people. But you know, we have such a plethora of members.
You do.
We've got white members. We've got black members. We've got biracial members. We've got straight members, we've got gay members, we've got interracial couples, we've got kids. We range from 6 years old to 70-something is our oldest member. And there's a funny story about her. Her gentleman friend started attending the church. She started attending the church. She just drove by it and saw it and decided she was going to attend some Sunday. This was several years ago. So one Sunday she came up and visited. And then she started dating a gentleman, and she brought him. And he was a heavy Church of Christ member, really big into the Church of Christ. So naturally, we thought his Church of Christ and our open and accepting and affirming is just not going to mesh. So they attended a few Sundays, and he decided that he and Miss Kelly were going to get married. So they got married in our church, and they decided that one Sunday they would attend Church of the Living Water. The next Sunday, then they would attend his Church of Christ and alternate. He never went back to Church of Christ.
Wow.
So, I think, you know, that speaks a lot about the type of people that we have in our congregation. We have the most awesome and outstanding group of people. I can't tell you how many people say, as soon as they walk in, they feel the love.
That I can bear witness, because I have come, and you guys have been there. Tony has mentored me as a new and blooming, and you all have, really. I mean, you guys really accepted me and loved me, and that's not coming too far from a divorce and coming out of Islam and all of that, and you guys kind of were with me on that journey, never, ever felt anything but love from you guys.
Right, and you know, I think the older we get, too, the more accepting we are of alternate lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a little lady, we used to have a nursing home ministry.
I know, and that was awesome.
That was, I really miss having it. And we started out in a nursing home, and then we moved to another one. And at the second nursing home, we had a little lady that was 90. Miss Alzetta was 92, I believe, and loved hearing us come on the Sundays that we would come. Well, then we got to the point where we were hiring
Access Rod
to pick them up and bring them up to the church on Sundays. And she was always one of the first in line. You know, and she was 92 years old when she passed, but she was as much of that congregation as any of us were. She had as much input. She was so loving and accepting and just a beautiful soul, you know. And at 92, she wasn't so set in her ways that she wasn't willing to listen to what God was telling her as far as who we were. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Because I remember when I came to you guys' church one Sunday, and it just touched my heart that the bus came up, you guys went out and got everybody and brought them in, and some were walking, some were on walkers, some were in wheelchairs, and just made a place for them, and it really touched my heart. And it was just love, just love, you know.
Every one of them were special to us,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we were special to all of them.
You could tell.
Yeah.
You could tell. You know, the hugs and kisses.
Yeah. So that's kind of who we are. We're just, you'd see the building and you think, well, it's just a little country church, you know. But it's so full of God's love for everybody.
It is. And for me to have been there to see that, I wish other people could see that.
I do, too.
I mean, because it's a small congregation, but you feel the love when you walk in there. I've never felt anything but God's love in there. And you guys worship.
Oh, yeah, we do. We call ourselves kind of Baptist Cosmic.
Yeah, y'all Baptist Cosmic. Y'all praise the Lord in there. And it's all good.
Get excited.
And it's all good. I love that, too. And you're part of the ministry. What do you...
You know, I feel like even though I we're a small congregation of, right now we're averaging 30, 35, and there's five of us that are ordained ministers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, you can't swing a cat in the church without hitting minister. And we don't, none of us preach Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We all take turns. But I feel that it's what I do outside of that building that is more important than what I do in that building. And you never know the impact you're going to have on somebody. I remember a couple of years ago, I did a wedding, performed a wedding for a coworker. I guess it's been about 5 or 6 years ago now. And several of our coworkers came to the wedding, and we held it at the church. The next day back at work, I ran into one of the coworkers in the break room, and she goes, "I didn't know that you were ordained." And I says, "Yeah, I was ordained, you know, 2 or 3 years ago." And she says, "You know, I've known you now for 10, 12 years, and I've known there's a light about you that I never knew what it was until now."
Wow.
And to me, that was such a ego boost.
A compliment to
God
doing it.
That people do see Christ in me without me even realizing it. You know, and when I was working, I didn't wear a sign that said, "I'm a minister." I didn't always wear a cross, you know. I was just me. But yet somebody could see Christ in me.
Which is the most important, because our life should be an epistle.
It should be.
And, you know, our life should preach a sermon when you have connected to God and you're in Christ and He is in you.
Uh-huh.
Then somebody should see some fruit from that.
You would think.
Whether you're a minister or, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
We're
all ministers.
We really are, because it means to serve.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, we're all ministers whether we have the title or not. And it's important that we minister outside of that church building.
It is.
We have a wonderful outreach right now to the homeless. We have,
good.
One of our members has bought, they're like backpacks, the string backpacks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we all fit in and have filled those with non-perishable food items, you know, maybe Vienna sausages or crackers, you know, cheese and crackers or whatever, some toiletry items, some pad and paper, just things that a homeless person might need.
Right.
And then we're selling them for $20. So you would give me the $20. I would give you the backpack. You could give it to a homeless person of your choice, or if you weren't comfortable with that, we would give it to somebody, to somebody on the street.
Wow.
You know, and to me, that's what being a church is all about.
It is
taking
it is.
Care of others.
It is.
That's just something that's important.
It is.
You know,
it is.
It's important, sure, to have the church members and to have the tithes and the offerings, but if you're not doing what God has shown you to do, all that money is not going to do you a bit of good. Your ministry is going to fail. We have, earlier, was it this year or last year, we got down to like 7 people attending on a Sunday. Now, I'm sorry, when you've got a mortgage to make and you've only got 7 people coming to church,
that's hard.
It's very hard, and you've got mortgage and electricity and water and, you know, everything else you've got. But, you know, we have never, through the grace of God, missed a mortgage payment, utility payment, anything. God has always provided for us because we believe it's because we're doing what God has called us to do.
I know you guys are. I mean, I'm a fruit of your reaching out to everybody, so I know that you are.
You know, and the money's nice when we get it, but we've learned that we've apparently made the devil mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're just hoping one of these days he says, "That's your trouble." I'm just going to leave him alone. It's going to be a good. You know. So,
we hope he says
so
that.
That's
too.
Our ministry, you know. And I think for me, my ministry lies outside of the building.
That is so good. So good. I'm going to throw you in here, Steve. Where are you going to be?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Because you are a deacon in the church. How do you help, and how do you, if you don't mind me, I know this is, he is so unprepared, you guys. I'm just throwing him in. Come on in to the lion's den. How do you help out?
Well, the deacon's role, we've always assumed is to really be a helpmate to the pastors and the ministers
mm-hmm.
that are there. We help with the preparation of communion, and we help with the preparation of things like newsletters and things like that. Things that that would take a lot of time out of the minister's purpose of spreading the word and everything. We're there as helpmates. I look at it as helpmates,
which is important.
And,
well,
absolutely.
Yeah. And until recently, I didn't think that I would have to preach, but he had graciously asked the deacons to occasionally step in and deliver the word. I won't say I'm preaching. I'm saying I'm delivering a word, delivering a message, because I don't consider myself a preacher. But that's the way we see our goal, is to just be there and be a help to the church, to be a help to the people, sometimes people need a buffer between the ministers and themselves.
They do.
And I look at us as being kind of a buffer, as somebody that they can come to that they might not feel as intimidated by or threatened by, although I can't imagine any of our ministers being intimidating. But
sometimes people do need that buffer.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah. So sometimes I feel they can come to us, especially if they have a complaint.
Well,
and
that's
they just
true.
Don't feel comfortable saying that, you know, to a minister. So.
Right. And I mean, that's an important role, to be that in-between.
Yeah.
In-between. That is really good. So we've gone, and I love it. Let's talk about destiny and desire. To me, God put the desire in your heart, and that the destiny or the passion or the desire that God places in your heart is sometimes a clue as to where your destiny lies. Where do you feel like our relationship with God and Him placing that desire in our heart kind of pushes us to into the destiny and purpose?
That's really about that. Of all the questions
mm-hmm.
that you sent to me, that was the hardest one.
Was that the hardest
that
one?
That was the hardest one, because God does give us destinies. God does give us passion about something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember so many times thinking, how do I know that that's God pushing me to something
mm-hmm.
or that's not myself pushing me to something?
Fantastic.
You know, and the simplest answer is, if it succeeds, if it gives God the glory, it was God.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that doesn't go off so well, then it was your idea. You didn't let God in on it.
Mm.
But, you know, if God gets the glory and it's a success, then that was something that God placed on your heart. You know, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called.
Ooh, I like that.
You know.
He does.
Yeah,
he does.
And so he will give us whatever we need to succeed doing his work.
Yes, he will.
You know?
Yes, he will.
So how you know God's given it to you? I guess you just have faith.
Yeah.
You know, that this is something now God came to me in a vision and said, you know, or just step out of that faith.
And I feel like sometimes if you miss it, it's okay. because
you
go back around and you do it again, and somehow you become fine-tuned to his voice that you know that you know.
Uh-huh.
And you get that place for missing it a few times.
You do.
You
exactly
know?
Right.
That's what I have found, like that desire and that yearning to go to a certain place where I feel like God has called me. Sometimes I'm stepping on stage because sometimes you don't know, especially when you're in a ministry, is this my ego or is this really God? You know, because sometimes your ego can kind of really almost take you places that maybe God hasn't called you to yet.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I remember several years ago I was prophesied over. This is back in 2000, I believe. And the lady that did the prophesying was, we were at a conference, and she'd walk around and she was speaking in tongues and she was praying, and then she'd come to somebody and she'd prophesy over them. And then she'd walk away and she'd pray and speak in tongues, and then she'd come to somebody else. So she came to me, scared me to death. I'll tell you what, I was new into that realm of belief, I guess you would say. And it scared me to death. People around me said I turned pale. And, you know, and I was talking to this lady the next day, and I said, I got to tell you, you scared me to death last night. And she says, I know. But isn't our God wonderful? She says, he has so many things for you, but you're not ready to receive. So that's the whole thing. You know, we may not ever think we hear God's voice, that he's always going to be pushing it.
He is.
Always going to be telling us. And when we're ready, he's going to have that Charlton Heston voice. This is God, you know. We may miss it a time or two, but it'll come around.
It will, and it does,
God has a lot more patience with us.
He so does.
Than we do.
And sometimes I heard a minister say one time that, you know, sometimes it's those big things, those big dreams that you're so afraid of that you don't feel like you can do by yourself.
Uh-huh.
Those are the ones that usually God has called you to, because you're not going to do it by yourself.
No, you're not.
And you have to lean on him each step of the way.
Uh-huh.
So weeding out those things that are not beneficial to your purpose or your focus is an important part of, you know, following your destiny. Talk to us a little bit about that, weeding out things or people or places.
Well, you know, like we were talking before we went on air, we were talking about people coming into our lives for a season. You know, and that may have been to prepare us for something greater. I remember I had a friend years ago, this is 20-some years ago, and he and I were best friends.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved to Tennessee, he and I communicated almost every day, every other day. And all of a sudden, 6 months after I moved here, the phone call stopped.
Mm-hmm.
The communication stopped. But I believe that it was through knowing him for that season and the encouragement that he gave me in Christ that has got me where I am today.
Wow.
You know, and there was a minister friend in Texas that he and I, you know, we met at a conference, and he and I used to talk all the time, and now we don't. But I know that he's still there.
Yeah.
I know that even though he's not physically in my life anymore, you know, separated by the miles, that I could still go to him and say, whatever, you know, I need help with this, or you know, can you give me some ideas, or whatever it might be, you know. So I believe that God puts people in our lives for a season for a reason. People may come into your life that you just don't gel with.
Yeah.
We call them sandpaper.
Yeah.
You know, and they're in your life long enough to smooth you out so that you can move on.
Yes, they
and
are.
I've had a lot of sandpaper people in my life.
Me too, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, no, fortunately, because they have made me smoother.
Exactly. It's rough going through it.
It is rough going through it. I even think, you know, for those who are out there like me who are divorced, and I was so angry with my ex for so many years and so bitter toward him about a lot of things that I finally had to say, well, what did I bring to the table?
Right.
And, you know, it took me like a couple of years to look at me and say,
this is a two-way street.
Yeah, I did some things that weren't so good either. You know, and the story left my part out.
Right.
That wasn't so
Absolutely.
Good.
You know, there's three sides to every story.
Right. Yeah.
His side, your side, and the right side.
Right.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
The sandpaper does make us a smoother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So then, you know, people, good or bad, come into our lives for a reason.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And the ones that come in as sandpaper,
mm-hmm.
we just can't dwell on that.
Wow, we can't.
Once they're out of our lives, we have to just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing them in, but thank you more for taking them out.
That's true.
You know?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, this has been so good. I have so enjoyed, and I know that those of you who are listening have, I've gotten a lot out of it, so I know that you have. Tell us how somebody can reach out to you.
My email address.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you want?
Mm-hmm.
That would be REZMIKEM 531 at bellsouth.net. If you're in the Nashville area, you're more than welcome to attend church at Church of the Living Water. We're located at 731 South Dickerson Pike in Goodlettsville. It's about two or three blocks south of Rivergate Mall on Dickerson Pike. If you're, you know, in the Nashville area and know where we're talking about, everyone is welcome.
That's
We'd
so
love
true.
To have anyone come and give us a try, you know. We may not be the church for you. And believe me, we will not force you to come back. if we're not for you, there's a church out there that is, and you need to just keep searching. So that's pretty much how to get in touch with us. The church has a website, clwnashville.org. Yeah, clwnashville.org. But we'll give you more information about the church. We have a Facebook page, which is CLW Nashville on Facebook. So we've got some exciting things coming up in the future. The 24th of November, we're having a quilt sale, which ought to be a lot of fun.
That does sound like fun.
Pastor Tony's mother has made a bunch of quilts.
Oh.
And it's going to be up here selling them.
Oh, cool.
So,
cool.
That'll be really good. And like I said, we do have our anniversary coming up in December, the 13th, 14th, and 15th, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. That's when it is, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of December. Reverend Evelyn Shaver is coming from Phoenix to do our services on Friday night and Sunday morning, and then Reverend Meadows from Louisville will be here on Saturday to bring the message. So,
and it's
that's
always a good time.
Always
a good time. I've been to a couple.
And come expecting to feed your soul, but also come expecting to feed your...
That's the other good thing about the Church of Living Water. Greatest cooks. Good food.
We call ourselves Church of the Eternal Buffet. Somebody drops a hat, we find a reason to eat.
But it's good food.
Yes, it is.
It's good food. That's the other thing about Pastor Tony, too. He is a great cook. But you all bring in good things. I have so enjoyed our conversation.
I have too. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Anytime, you know, I said it and I mean it, you want to talk about anything, you have you really feel like you'd like to get out, please just call me. Well, this is the end of the program. This is Soul in the City. Be blessed because you are blessed. Be great because you serve a great God and He is in you. So have a blessed week and a weekend. write me, message me on Facebook. I'm so glad to see you guys. Have a good evening. Good night. This is Soul in the City.